today on Real Radio.
God will never play with you, Christian. He will never say, well, let's see what happens. In fact, even with Job, God knew Job's strength and weaknesses. And in fact, God told Satan, you can go this far with Job and then that's it. You can't go any further. Isn't that amazing to think? The enemy can only go so far with you and then he must stop.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called The Rule of God in the End, Part 2, continues a series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. Thanks for joining us today. You know, the prophet Isaiah is well known for both his near and far prophecies. God used him, of course, to warn Judah and the city of Jerusalem of the coming judgment if they don't turn from their sin. But God also gave him visions far into the future, the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, and also what will happen in the last days when Christ returns. In part 1 from Isaiah chapter 14, we looked at how God is a God of mercy and that he will never give up on Israel. We also learned that Isaiah is now able to see behind the scenes of human governments and into the powers that pull the strings. The angel Lucifer was cast down from heaven for wanting to be like God and has deceived many nations and many of us. He's a very real, invisible enemy, but in the end, God will destroy him. Now in part 2, we'll look into Satan's war plan and how we can fight against him. So today on day 2 of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that Satan's war plan is to try and get us off course in our walk with Christ by twisting the truth, which creates division and confusion. He'll also use our desires and passions in life to get us to do things that are contrary to God's will. And now, continuing his lesson called The Rule of God in the End, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Listen, this is very important because as we talk about the battle strategies of the enemy tonight, I hope you leave this place very, very confident and very excited. Mark this down if you would. What are the war plans of our enemy? If we can uncover the war plans of our enemy, then we know how to fight. You know, we've got this big debate going on about our government being unable to detect our enemies. And so everybody's talking about, well, how are you going to fight if you don't know who your enemy is? Well, the same is true in the spiritual realm. If we don't know who our enemy is, how are you going to fight? Our enemy is Satan, ladies and gentlemen. He's out for us. So what are the war plans of the enemy against us? Mark it down if you would. Number one, his plan is to use propaganda. He's the master distributor of propaganda. Propaganda is his distribution of his agenda. Propaganda. You ought to write that down because you need to be on guard against the propaganda of Satan. Number two, he has perfected the art of misinformation, or we would say lies. Jesus said Satan is the father of lies. In fact, the Bible tells us that when we lie, we are actually being like Satan when we lie. That's a scary thought. Lies originate from Satan. Isn't that freaky? It's not a human invention. We've just perfected it. It's Satan's original act, misinformation, to lead someone astray to their damage, lies. He's the master, the father of it. Thirdly, he drops the seeds of deception or false doctrine of any sort. He drops seeds of deception. He loves it. If he could get into your heart, into your head, and get you thinking, listen, everybody, get you thinking off Bible track, get you off the course. That's why every church under the sun should be walking its people through the Bible. If you are Bible fed, you will not fall for Satan's seeds of deception that he drops along the way. In fact, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3, Paul says, but I fear to the Corinthians, I fear lest somehow as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, they too would be deceived. That's an amazing thing, you guys. Lucifer, Satan, deceived Eve, and we think, well, you know, what a dummy she was. Oh, we better repent of that kind of thinking. Eve was no dummy. Ladies and gentlemen, Eve was absolutely perfect in the Garden of Eden. You know that? Adam and Eve were perfect. We don't even know what we're talking about when we say perfect. They were perfect. They were sinless. Adam and Eve. And we say, oh, yeah, I rebuke you, devil. You know, you better not come into my house, devil. I'll knock you out. Oh, yeah, really? Eve was perfect. Eve could knock you out. And the devil came and deceived her by his craftiness. That's sobering, is it not? He talked to her, and she, in an unfallen state, perfect, with fellowship with God, she entertains his temptation. She thinks about it. There was still time for her to divorce herself from that thinking until her temptation manifested in the will. It went from temptation into her will. And then when the will is conceived of sin, what happens is the hand reached for the apple, or the apple. It's probably an apple. We know it was an avocado, because those are wonderful. It had to be an apple. She reaches for it, and she eats of it. So the very thing, a progression. He deceived her. Satan deceived her. She was deceived. Adam did worse, by the way. Read the fine print. She was deceived by Satan. Adam transgressed. Different kind of sin. Did you know that? The Bible says Eve was the one deceived, not Adam. But don't think Adam's off the hook. Eve was deceived by Satan. Adam came along and said, whoa, what happened to you? And he determined, God or her? Imagine, what would that have been like? What if he said, I'm done with you, girl. It's over. He'll make me a new one. What if that would have happened? What if that would have happened? He looked at her, and he looked at God, and he looked at her, and he looked at God, and he had to choose. And Adam went with her. Think of it. The Bible says he transgressed. She sinned. Two different things. She was deceived. Adam chose, I'm going to go against God. Straight up. And I'm going to go with her. Wow. The war plans of our enemy. He wins. Listen, he wins once he's achieved some form of division. He'll scatter the flock. The Bible says, woe unto the idle shepherd who scatters the flock. That's a reference to Satan. Satan is a skilled tempter. I think you all know that. What's the war plans of the enemy? He deceives the nations, the Bible says. That is a profound statement in light of today's world. The Bible says that Satan is the one who deceives nations or the leaders of nations. Do you think that's happening today? All over the world, isn't it? What's the war plan of the enemy? He seeks to confuse people. When the Bible says God is not the author of confusion, it implies that Satan is. Confusion. Have you ever been confused with no explanation? There's a time when you're confused because it's like, that math problem's got me confused. That's simple confusion. We all get that. But have you ever been confused where it makes no sense? Listen, how many of you are married? Raise your hands. Home. How many of you are, anybody single in here? Raise your hands. Wow. You guys, raise your hands, single. Raise your hand. Look around. So, all right, that's enough. So listen. No, I think husbands and wives know this the most. When you're talking, you can say, I'll take 5 blue ones. She'll say, how many would you like? 5 blue ones. And then she comes back with 7 green ones. How did that happen? It makes no sense. The two people who can be bound together the best and the mostest, there's confusion. And listen, you want to see that on steroids? Be a husband and wife and get involved in ministry. But you know what? The battle is worth the victory. Satan loves to capitalize on confusion. It's one of the things that he does. It's one of his battle strategies. Sometimes you'll be in a state of confusion and there's no explanation. You need to pull back and say, wait a minute, we need to pray. And you pray the fog away. It's awesome. Another battle strategy of the enemy is that he opposes the preaching of the gospel. He hates it. He was always trying to stop. Remember in the book of Acts, the disciples from preaching the gospel. Whenever Jesus was preaching the gospel, it's amazing. I tell you, can you imagine traveling with Jesus for those 3.5 years? Jesus starts preaching and people start foaming at the mouth and throwing themselves down on the ground. I mean, that's, I don't know about you, but that's pretty exciting stuff. Why? What was going on? Demon-possessed people, the presence of Christ brought out demons that were possessing people. And Satan hates the preaching of the gospel. The fact of the matter is that he's trying to undermine it in so many ministries around the world today. Preach anything but the gospel. Why? Why tamper with the gospel? Why does he hate it so? In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3, the Bible says, if our gospel is veiled, this is so sad and so serious, for if our gospel is veiled, that is, it can't be seen, it is veiled to those who are perishing. Do you know anybody in your life who they just don't see the gospel? Do you know anyone like that? The Bible says they're perishing. They're in a state of falling. Think about the person you know right now. You know when you share with them, they just don't get it. Listen to what the Bible says about this. Whose minds the God of this age has blinded. Satan. He's the God of this age. Notice little g. But he's running around ruling things down here. Who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Satan is trying to keep the gospel revelation out of the minds of man. He opposes the gospel. Satan is the opposition force to salvation. And Jesus warned us about that in Matthew 13. Verse 19, Jesus says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the wicked one comes and snatches away what is sown in their hearts. Jesus attributed in this parable of the sower and the seeds that the birds that come and take the word or the seed away is none other than the emissaries of Satan. Somebody hears the gospel. How is it that somebody hears the gospel tonight and people say, yeah, praise the Lord, that's awesome, thank you, Jesus. And other people just say, I don't get it. Satanic power is in play. The Bible says that the whole world is under the sway of the wicked one. The next question is, how can we detect the attack of the enemy? How can we detect the attack of the enemy? It would almost be better for us if Satan set off a nuclear bomb. You could detect that. That would be obvious, but he most often, church, attacks us in very subtle ways. I don't like this part. I must confess. Can I confess something to you guys? There are temptations that come and they're so blatantly obvious. Some of them are almost funny. I think personally, have you ever read Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis? If you've never, how many of you not read it? Be honest, you're in church. Okay, that's got to change right now. You guys, the book is about that big. It's called The Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis. Brilliant. There are some temptations. In fact, the book is about, it's when a demon goes to tempt this guy, his coach tells him, don't make it so obvious. The guy, the human will pick up on it. He'll know it's you tampering with him. You got to go smooth and subtle and quiet. You got to make him think he wants that kind of thing. And that it's good for him to have it. But there's times when a temptation comes and it's like, are you kidding me? I'm not worried about those. You almost laugh at those. It's the ones where they hit you and you've been in the battle for a day, a week, a month, and you didn't even know it. And then you wake up and it's like, what? Those are the ones that scare me. Where you are down that path and you're everything status quo. And listen, for that illustration, you ought to read Pilgrim's Progress. by John Bunyan. Wow. How can we detect the attack of the enemy? I hope I don't confuse you with this, because the Lord's not the author of confusion. It is both possible and impossible to detect satanic activity. Let me explain that. It is both possible and impossible. Number one, it's possible when we have a clear biblical approach and an application to the attack. Did you get that? It means this. It is possible when we have a clear biblical approach and an application to the attack. See, what does that mean? It means that when you see or you detect the temptation, the satanic attack, you take the word of God, and the word is Makaira. It is the sword of the Spirit. It's not the Roman broadsword. That's a different word. You know, a Roman broadsword is about 3.5 feet long. I actually have one. The thing probably weighs about 15 pounds. You cannot have a hand-to-hand combat with a Roman broadsword. The Roman broadsword is that huge, gigantic sword, and what they would do in open field is that the Roman soldier would start spinning it like a helicopter. I mean, you got to look like a helicopter with that thing going. But when he got into hand-to-hand combat, he would jettison that big sword, and he would pull out his Makaira. It's an 18-inch blade, and you never pulled it out unless you were going to kill. The reason why it's 18 inches, the Romans made it 18 inches, is because wherever you didn't have to look, you just started stabbing, because if you hit meat and pushed it through, you would kill the individual, because 18 inches is the distance you need to go thoroughly through. It's called Makaira. Guess what? Are you sitting down? That's exactly the word that is used where the Bible says, take the sword of the Spirit and fight against the enemy. It's a deadly weapon. The word of God slays the enemy. So it's possible when you apply the word of God like that. But what about the impossible part? When it's impossible, it means that the level of deception has reached a state that is beyond us. So what do we do about it? That's okay. God has given us, and we need to be careful to always call upon him for this, discernment. Discernment is given to us by God when the war is too tough, when it's too ugly, when it's too terrible. We can pray, God, give us discernment. Give me discernment. What is that discernment? It's supernatural insight, knowledge of what's going on around you. It's not humanly detectable, discernment. There's, by the way, the Holy Spirit has a gift of discernment that's given to those in the body of Christ. Discernment. Without human input, God will give you a clear, direct revelation of information regarding the issue, that perilous issue that's before you. And so that's when the impossible becomes possible against the enemy's attacks. God will never set you up for the fall. God will never play with you, Christian. He will never say, well, let's see what happens. In fact, even with Job, God knew Job's strength and weaknesses. And in fact, God told Satan, you can go this far with Job and then that's it. You can't go any further. Isn't that amazing to think? The enemy can only go so far with you and then he must stop. Everything, as I said last time, must come to you, Father filtered. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 13, 2 Corinthians 11, 13, are you guys okay? Yeah. You're very quiet tonight. Are you tired? You all right? Both. 2 Corinthians 11, 13 says, for such are false apostles. Well, this is getting scary now. Watch this. So who are the, what's going on over there? Oh, it's a ministry. It's a ministry. Well, what's that? What's happening? It's not exactly biblical, but what? Well, the Bible, Paul says, 2 Corinthians 11, 13, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. Church, listen, it doesn't give me pleasure to say this, but let's run through the drill. Pause right there. Keep it on the screen. Look how sobering that is. There are people in religious circles who have been transformed into apostles of Christ. They look like it, I should say. They put on. How do you detect that? How do you know that? Think about that. You need discernment for this. We need discernment for this. It goes on. It gets worse. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. You ever think about that? Listen, let's be honest. I hope God's working in this church. I hope he's working. I hope he's using the word of God and he's transforming our lives. If he's going to do that, and if we know a little bit about the Bible, wherever God is working, who else is going to be working? Exactly. Wherever Jesus ministered, Satan was there. How's that? Does that come for you tonight? I want to go to church that's red hot for God. That's me too. That's awesome. Here's the deal. Satan will be there. I want to go to the most awesome church in the world. That's great. Me too. Just know when you park your car, Satan's got his little car right next to you. And when you go in, you sit down, Satan's there. Hey, how are you? Fine. Swell. His attacks, his warfare that we can detect goes along these lines. Satan will utilize our desires. Desires could be good or bad. It depends. But he'll utilize those desires to his favor. He'll find out what our likes are. Listen, Satan doesn't know your thoughts. I know there's people who have written books and they say Satan knows your thoughts. I don't believe, that's an attribute of God. Satan's not a god. He can't do that. He's just really old. He's been around a long time. And he knows how humans... He's got a little graph. He pulls out his little iPad and he goes, you know what? This guy's 32 years old and he's, you know, he comes from this background. And Mike, you know, over the course of the last bazillion years, this is what these people kind of do. So I'm gonna drop this bomb over there. I'm going to put this thought over there. Are you with me? He's smart. He learns. He picks up on the trends. So he finds out what your likes are, and then he perverts them. He finds out what your desires are, and he perverts them. He finds out what your passions are, and he perverts them.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called The Rule of God in the End, Part 2. Thanks for joining us today, and our hope is that you have Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, because only Christ can fill the void in your heart. The Rule of God in the End, Part 2, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, we've got a special offer for you from Pastor Jack, and I'd like to tell you about it. It's called Look What Jesus Christ Did. He Did an Amazing Work. And it's from 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 through 22. In this four-part message on DVD, Pastor Jack explains exactly what Jesus Christ did for us and what the Bible teaches about eternity, redemption, water baptism, and so much more. Many of us know that Jesus Christ lived here on earth and that he died on a cross, but do we truly understand what he actually did? The Apostle Peter's very purpose for living was to boldly claim what Jesus Christ did for all of humanity. He died for both the just and the unjust by taking that debt that we owed to God for our sins and carried it to the cross. Jesus literally died in our place so that we could spend eternity in heaven with him. So again, this special four-part message is called Look What Jesus Did. He Did an Amazing Work from 1 Peter chapter 3. It's available for your gift of any amount, and you can get it at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. When giving your gift, make sure you request, Look What Jesus Did. He Did an Amazing Work. Get this special offer today at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.